So we're gonna try to illustrate something here, and we'll see how well this goes, okay? Molly, if you please would approach the altar area, just stand about right here where Dawn and Becky. Benjamin, if you'd come and stand right here. Tony, if you'd come and stand right here, please. There we go. Thank you. So, Molly, I would like for you, if you would please, to sing the song that we sing in our closing, Lord, Prepare Me. Just one verse of it. Thank you. I would like for you, please, to start doing some jumping jacks. I would like you, please, to start doing some push-ups. Let's go. Good enough. Good enough. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Thank you, baby. Here's the point. These guys have had 25 years of experience with their father. They were willing to do whatever I asked them to do. Now, we can sit here and go, ooh, that's impressive and praise God. That's not the point. The point is Abraham did not have that benefit. He did not have 25 years of relational experience that what these three were probably thinking, he's lost his mind. But I love him. I don't want to embarrass him in front of everybody. So I'm going to do what he asked me to do. Abraham didn't have that benefit. All he had was, you're my God. And folks, we're talking about like right now. You know, new baby. That's what Abraham was to God. He was a babe in Christ, if you will. He was old. He was well into age, but when him and God got together, it wasn't like they were buds and had spent a lot of time. And God said, leave everything you know. And I believe with all my heart that there probably were some hours, days, weeks, months of wrestling, but sooner or later, Abraham said, yes, sir. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And even though, watch this, that is astounding faith, that's the same type of faith that God is asking you and I to have with God, irregardless of your relationship. In other words, well, God, I just signed up yesterday. Doesn't matter. When God says go, you go. Well, God, I've served you faithfully for X amount of years. Doesn't matter. When he says go, it's time to go. Does that make sense, church? That's the faith that you and I are supposed to express into God. Just as these folks but had years of experience, they expressed faith in their father to do what he asked them to do. You and I are to express faith into God when he asks us to do something. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. The title of this message is simply, By Faith a Nation is Born. By Faith a Nation is Born, and Adrian Rogers has been relied upon heavily for this message. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine? By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Most of us would be out right there, right? Tents. The heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, church, that means that he did not put so much stock into this earthly home. He was preparing for his heavenly home. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. I can't speak for you, but I can't go to a beach without thinking about the nation of Israel, because God constantly refers to them as being numbered as the sand in the seashore. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this wonderful crowd. God, I know that you want to use us for your glory. I know that you want to use us to reach people for the gospel of Christ. So I ask you to help us to have the faith to do what you say to do, to be who you tell us to be. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I'm having trouble with that. I'm glad that God has not asked that of us yet. And I can't speak for you. Maybe there has been a situation where God has done that. You know the story that I tell you about the guy that was told by God to buy a jug of milk and just start driving. That's kind of an Abrahamic experience. I've yet to go through that. I'm hoping and praying, because of the vow that I've made before God, that if he ever does do that, I'll have the faith to follow him. I'll exercise the faith to do what he tells me to do. But this is what Abraham did. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. Here is the sermon. Here's my sass. The sermon in a sentence. When there is nothing in your favor about this decision except God's favor, choose God's favor. When there is nothing in your favor except God's favor, choose his favor. Church, there may be times in your life where you are asked to make a decision that you don't have all of the pros and cons before you. Can you imagine God standing there with Abraham during this discussion? And Abraham just says, "But God, if you just tell me where I'm going, I think I could come, you know, I think I could convince Sarah if you just tell me where I'm going." No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you, go. Well, God, if you could tell us why. You know, could you just tell us why? Nope. Just telling you, go. And church, when you sit there and do all the pros and cons, and the only thing is that you can figure out is that the only advantage to making this decision is that I am going to please God, that's enough. It's enough. If the only thing that you're going to get out of this decision is God's favor, that's enough compared to what you might lose. The Bible calls Abraham the father of all those who believe. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. And much of a Hebrews 11, which celebrates the champions of faith, is dedicated to the life of Abraham. Well, why all this attention for one man? Adrian asks the question. Because faith isn't incidental. Church, this isn't just something that it's going to go good for you if you do it. This is everything. Remember this morning's sermon? It's all about faith. It's all about faith. And if you and I don't connect with this, we're in trouble. Faith is not incidental. There's no way to please God without faith, the Bible says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, 6. Faith is the mark of a Christian. In fact, Christians were called believers before they were called Christians. Acts 5, 14, 11, 26. Faith is our chief duty, Jesus said. Get this. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. John 6, 29. In other words, church, the greatest work that you can do is to believe in Jesus that God sent. That's the greatest work you can do. And the reason men are doomed and damned isn't because of some sin they have committed. Men and women will go to eternal damnation not because of a particular sin that they committed, but other than unbelief. Unbelief is what sends people to eternal damnation. Not adultery, not homosexuality, not fill in the blank. It is the sin of unbelief, a lack of faith. You have this to believe about where we came from, or you have this to believe. You have this to believe of how to get to heaven. There's many roads. Or you have this to believe. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's impossible. This is something. When I read this, I stopped, if you will, in my tracks. It's impossible to overemphasize the importance of faith. Now, you guys would have to tell me if this is accurate, but I feel like I can relate to Gerald Mitchell that I struggle with overkill sometimes. Gerald Mitchell told about this situation where he was walking and had his walking stick and a dog attacked, and he killed the dog with his stick. And then afterwards he said, I struggle with overkill. I looked at Gerald and I said, you think? And what we're saying here is that this is something that you can't overkill. It's impossible to overstate the importance of faith. Abraham was a pagan who lived 2,000 years before Christ. An absolute pagan, an idolater. That means that he worshipped idols. He lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. When God spoke to him, Abraham had settled there. He had a beautiful wife, a business, kinfolks. He left it all to go to a country he had never seen. God didn't tell him where he was going or how long the trip would take. God didn't say what Abraham would do when he got there or how long he would stay or what would happen to him. God just said, get up and go. And Abraham went. Abraham and Sarah were strangers and pilgrims in the land of Canaan. And so are we. Don't answer this. Are you comfortable in this earth? Are you comfortable in this planet? And the reality is that God has blessed us, and that's okay. The reality is that you and I have a prosperity that we enjoy in America that makes us physically comfortable. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But spiritually, this should not be our home. We should never allow the accoutrements that are here in this planet to make us so at ease that if God would let us, we'd just live here the rest of our lives. No. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. It's extremely important that we see ourselves as pilgrims passing through. This was written for our sake. Why do you think God put Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11? It was to be an inspiration, an informational tool. There are six principles of faith that you can learn from this father of all who believe. Number one, the voice principle. In church, listen to me. It's been a long day. It's been a long week. We're tired. We have a lot of things going on in our heart and mind. I'm begging you. Out of these six points, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on any one of them, this one is the most important. I had a situation that I cannot give you great details, but again this week I was reminded how easy it is to come to church Sunday in, Sunday out, and not hear a thing. And I am trying to pull my ears off. Because that's the frustration that we have as pastors and Sunday school teachers and Awana leaders and the such. We say and say and say what God wants us to say, and it's like we don't hear. And watch this, church. You know this. One finger goes out, three's coming back. God's up there saying, yeah, Ben, yeah, I know. I feel you, brother. I say it and say it and say it, and it's like you don't hear it. We have people, and if we're not careful, probably not you, but somebody in your pew, that you come to church and you hear the preaching of God's word, and you're like, yes, amen, that's good, and you go home and you never touch the word the rest of the week. You never soak the rest of the week. And church, if that's the case, you talk about binge eating and binge fasting, and it's not healthy for the believer. You've got to expose yourself to the Word of God on a daily basis. Amen, church? On a daily basis. The voice principle. You must hear God. starting with the revealed word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. You can't follow God if you can't hear him. You can't hear him if you are not listening. You will not listen until you are convinced that there is nothing more important in your life than hearing the voice of God. Increasingly, I am asking this question of all Bethel folks and believers. Do you have confidence in any situation that you can hear the voice of God and seek him and know what he wants you to do at the drop of a hat? If you can, you need to call an emergency meeting with yourself and get this figured out. Do you have faith that you can hear his voice? Point number two, the venture principle. You must obey what you know, like Abraham who heard and obeyed, even though he didn't fully understand. In verse 8, again, we see that. When you are living by faith, life is an adventure. Abraham believed that the safest place to be was in the center of God's will. Even though it was so far out of the comfort zone, Abraham could be the poster child of that phrase. I've been trying to get out of my comfort zone. Well, try what Abraham did. How many of us would say, okay, I'm going to try Abraham, and I'm going to let you, Brad, I'm going to let you tell me whatever you want me to do. Go! None of us would pick Brad. It's just an illustration. You wouldn't pick me either. I know that. But the point is that I can't imagine. And church, we look at what God wants for us to do, and it's like, oh, if I have to. If you're not going to bless me if I don't, that's not it at all. It's an adventure. What would we do if God used any one of these young people to win the entire school at St. Clair? What would we do? I hope we wouldn't sit like we're sitting now. And I'm not getting on to you. I'm just telling you that I hope we would tear this place up with celebration. Amen, church? What an adventure that would be. And I'm telling you, every one of these kids have that type of potential. And kids, please listen. I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody. I'm just asking you to ask God what to do. He may not ask you to try to win the entire school. He may ask you to win the person that you sit next to in biology or whatever the case may be. The venture principle. Abraham believed that the safest place to be was in the center of God's will, even though it was so far out of the comfort zone. So do you have faith to follow God on the adventure that is his will for your life? Number three, the value principle. You must establish priorities. Abraham dared to go because he had decided this world wasn't his home. His priority was to follow God. Verse 9. Again, a man that had only knew God for a few days type thing. God said, okay, Abraham, I love this relationship that we have. I need you to leave. Huh? Come again? Abraham, I love the relationship that we have. I want to do something with you. Let's go. Okay. And he goes. The absolute value principle. What do you value, church? He valued God and his promises. So should we. Do you have faith to value God's values above this world? Point number four, the vision principle. Keep your faith focused, not drifting away from the vision God has given you. Church, I call this stick-to-itiveness. I call this, John Smith used to say, grab a root and growl, Brother Ben. Tenacity, we call it. Gutting it out. Do you know that you know that you know what God's will is for you? Then situational circumstances shouldn't sway you. I never will forget. I don't remember if Mandy was in the youth group by then. I don't remember if Brad was in the youth group. I think it was honestly pre-Mandy and Brad, because I believe it was the first youth group with Sherry Withington, Matt Corbett, and the such. We're going way back, because those people look old compared to these people now. And I was their youth director. Hey! Yeah, easy. Hey, thank you, David. So, we're gonna do something. We're gonna do this big party for the youth, and we've put a lot of effort in it. We've put a lot of preparation into it, and on the day we're gonna have it, 100% chance of rain. So Sherry Withington shows up. Craig, I don't remember if you were there, but all right, Craig, took a couple other people, Matt, investigator, yeah, sheriff, deputy, they're all there. And they're looking at me like, what are we going to do? Because they're the ones that put all the preparation into it. We had a lot of people coming. We wanted to do this party. And I looked at them and I said, we're going to pray. Well, what are we going to pray? We're going to pray that it don't rain. We came in here, we asked God that the rain would go around us. Guess what it did that day? It drenched us. No, it didn't. The rain went around us. The rain, amen. The rain went around us. And church, listen to me. I want to stop just short. For 20 years, some of you people have known me, some of you for 30 years plus. Y'all know there's not a charismatic bone in my body. I'm not into faith healing. I'm not into name it and claim it, tag it and bag it. But watch this. I do believe God can do what he wants to do. And sometimes he asks us to believe the unbelievable. This is a true story. I'm allergic to wasps. I'm teaching a bunch of fifth graders at Garwood at Jesus Camp. And they are absolutely bonkers. You ever met a fifth grade boy? And I'm getting louder, trying to get their attention, and here comes this wasp. And it might as well have been Iron Man to these fifth graders. You know, type thing. And I'm allergic. And so because of all of their shenanigans, the wasp was like, and he comes over to me. I'm a bigger target, got more blood or whatever. He comes to me. I looked at that wasp and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And that wasp went, zzz. I looked back at those fifth graders, they were like, this guy's weird, but I like it. And I had their attention for the next whatever time. Vision. Stick-to-itiveness. My calling for that hour was to teach those fifth grade boys, and I wasn't going to let a silly wasp keep me from it. It's extremely important, church, that we keep this vision principle. Do you have faith to stick to the vision that God has given you? Number five, the vigilant principle. And to be honest with you, church, this is just a restatement of the vision. You must guard your heart, keeping your faith even under attack. Even Abraham and Sarah sometimes got their eyes off the Lord in verse 11. But this is how you stick with the vision. You keep your eyes on the star breather, as Brad says, not anything else. Church, the reason that you and I struggle with faith, no faith, is because we have faith because we're keeping our eyes on God, and then all of a sudden, the devil, the world, or our flesh draws our eyes to the problem, and then we have a lack of faith. And then God says, no, babe, look at me. And we look at God, and we have faith, and then the devil, the world, or our flesh draws our eyes away to the problem. We got to quit looking at the problem. Got to keep our eyes on God. Number six, the victory principle. You are to enjoy the blessings God brings into your life. Look at verse 11 again. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. In other words, she had a child. She bore a child, and when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now watch this. Abraham and Sarah celebrated Isaac as if the entire nation was standing before them. They had one kid. They had one kid. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. God chose Jacob. Two kids. Child, grandchild, two kids. How many did Jacob have? 12. Bum, bum, bum. Now all of a sudden we can see a nation coming out of Abraham and Sarah. But they didn't get to see that. But they celebrated it anyway because they had faith. They had faith. Church, when God does something for you, the least you can do is say so. You need to celebrate the victory principle. Celebrate the faithfulness of God. Everyone in your circle and beyond should know what God has done for you. Do you have faith to give God the credit for the great things that he's done in your life? Now, I want to close with this as musicians come. You are an Abraham to somebody. At the absolute risk of embarrassing this fine young lady, I want to do something here just for a moment. Yeah, you're fine, Jersey. First of all, every time that I try to recall Jersey's name, I have to jump over Phoenix because I want to call her Phoenix. I can't explain that. Just like I want to call him Brad. Just like I want to call Brad David or whatever. You know, I'm old, okay? So just forgive me and love me. Thank you, David. Jersey, you were coming here long before this young lady was coming. Am I right? What's your name, hon?
Kayla.
Kayla. Wonderful. Jersey is Kayla's Abraham. She is. She is. And we've talked about this before, but pretty much this section here was not coming until a lady that usually sits over here named Betty Carroll invited him. She's their Abraham. And we could just go from there. All of you guys have an Abraham. And you are an Abraham to somebody. And if you will exercise faith, God will increase your nation. He will. You know, we're going to have so much time in heaven. We may just have a day or a year or a millennial where we all get with the people that first started it in our life. For me, that would be Dwayne Kingston. But for some of us, it may be a completely unrelated person that he or she loved you enough to say, why don't you come to my church? Why don't you let me ask you a personal question? What, you know, however they did it, we all have an Abraham. Brad talks about Mr. Banderman in Children's Church. His uncle? I thought he was, but same last name. Amen. Second cousin. There we go. Look there. He was an Abraham. Him and what? Geneva? Yes, he's talked about them so much. I know their names. I don't think I could claim them if they came in the church building, but he would know because God used them and their I guarantee you they were practicing these principles. They had faith. Let's stand. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. We're inviting you. We're inviting you to come. Maybe you have accepted Christ and you need to be baptized. We're inviting you to come. Maybe you have accepted Christ and you've been baptized, but you want to be a member of this church. We're inviting you. Maybe you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar and you want to work through those principles and ask God to help you to exercise these principles in faith. Let's come.
Number 376, I have decided to follow you.